It's certainly been a busy few days in Detroit's bankruptcy journey with emergency manager Kevin Orr and Mayor Mike Duggan on Mackinac Island last week to make their collective cases to the state's lawmakers and business leaders. At the same time, the city's pensioners have started voting on the plan of adjustment, even as opponents of the grand bargain are seeking new ways to get their hands on the city's art. Detroit News Lansing reporter Chad Livengood joins us now. And Chad, last week was really a busy one in bankruptcy court. Fill us in.
Yeah, there was still continued efforts by one of the bond insurers, Syncora Guarantee, to try to slow down this process. As the city spokesman, Bill Nowing, has said, they're throwing the kitchen sink, taking the kitchen sink approach to this case. And so they are trying to delay the trial, and at the same time, they are apparently out working, them and other bond insurers are out trying to work the financial press to convince them that this grand bargain in Detroit, where state and private foundations are putting money towards the city's pensions in exchange for protecting the art of the Detroit Institute of Arts, that they're trying to argue that this grand bargain isn't so grand and that there's more money to be had because on a dollar and cents value, it's about $466 million from private sources and $195 million from the state. They argue that there's at least a billion, if not $3 or $4 billion. I mean, it's kind of the number is, you know, as much as you want to imagine, basically, that can be extracted from selling the art rather than essentially trading it to the foundations for this money for pensions.
And while he was speaking last week on Mackinac, Kevin Orr, didn't he basically accuse Syncora of deliberately spreading this misinformation, as he called it?
Yeah, I mean, the misinformation, I think, is kind of depends on what your definition of that is. I mean, the information they're spreading, Syncora and another company called Financial Guarantee Insurance Company, or FGIC, they are contending that the art can be sold, and that's legally not been tested. The 60,000 pieces of artwork in that museum, some of it was bought by the city directly. Much of it was given to the museum or bought by the museum at periods of time, and there's lots of providence and different types of legal requirements that come with that art. So just an outright sale is not been legally green-lighted, to say the least, in particular because the Attorney General Bill Schuette has said it's all in public trust and can't be sold to pay public debts. So that they're going out and trying to sort of drum up some support that there is more money to be had because these creditors face substantial losses. Some of them minimum 90%. Some of them some of the debts could be wiped out completely. And so they're facing, you know, FGIC in itself is on the hook for $1.1 billion in various debts of Detroit, and the Syncora company has several hundred million dollars as well. So these companies are facing possibly detrimental impact to their business and bottom line if Detroit is successful in doing what it wants to do to them.
In fact, Detroit, the city offered a 256-page response to the more than 600 objections filed to Kevin Orr's plan of adjustment. How is the city defending itself for giving a better deal to the pensioners than to Syncora and FGIC?
Well, they're contending that it meets the legal definition of fair and equitable, and that they meet the definition of allowing for discrimination, essentially, between classes of unsecured creditors. That's going to be really the centerpiece of this trial this summer, in July, although it might end up being in this fall, depending on if things get pushed back. starting in late July, this bankruptcy plan is going to go on trial. These financial creditors are going to try to attack this thing and contend, like I said, that there's more money to be had from this asset, the Detroit Institute of Arts, and that it doesn't meet the definition for fair and equitable for all creditors in the best interest of creditors. So the city is contending that it does. There's a sort of just a basic moral argument here that they're going to try to make is we're trying to limit the damage that can be inflicted on retirees versus the damage that can be inflicted on sort of the faceless bondholder.
And speaking of the retirees, they have their ballots in hand now. It's time for them to vote on the plan of adjustment. And while he was speaking at Mackinac, Orr sent a message to those pensioners. Recap for us what that was.
Yeah, his message is, this is not the time for a protest vote. That a protest vote means that you'll get a worse result. This is in particular message aimed at the general retirees, because the police and firefighters, their cuts, their pensions are remaining whole, but their annual cost of living inflationary increase is going to be cut in half. So it's really not a huge hit for them,
right,
up front, but to the general retirees, their base cut is 4.5% if they vote yes, and 27% if they vote no, and some of them can even get larger cuts because of different and complicated annuity plans. His message is continuing. He's continuing to try to push people to vote yes for this, so that, because if they vote it down, the money for the grand bargain from the foundations, the DIA, and the state goes away, and that's what really props up this whole these limited cuts to the pensions is that money, that especially from the state's portion being infused up front helps them mathematically come up with lower than expected pension cuts.
We assume some of the pensioners have voted, although I guess the sense is most are waiting to see what the state Senate does, so if the state's share of the grand bargain happens. But what are we hearing from pensioners who have sent in their votes? Do we have any idea?
Well, the city says, and they're tracking these things as they come in on a daily basis. I think they've got some kind of a small war room set up, essentially, to sort of watch this. But they say that 12 to 15% roughly of the ballots have been returned from retirees, and they're voting 2-1 in favor of the plan. Now, we don't know if that's a whole lot of cops and firefighters who are getting a fairly good, better than expected deal here. And it's going to vary. These general retirees are all over the map. Some of these people are getting cuts. Their pension cuts can actually vary up to 20% based on this annuity and excess interest payments they received over the years that the city's trying to claw back. But at the same time, at these public meetings that are going on, we're hearing continued sentiment against the plan. And some people are saying, I'd rather roll the dice with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and see if they would strike down or overrule Judge Stephen Rhodes' ruling in December that pensions can be cut in bankruptcy. It's really hard to tell, and we won't know until mid-July when the ballots are tallied just how this turns out.
Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. As always, Chad, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Now Zoe Clark joins us, co-host of Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics. You were up on Mackinac Island for the Detroit Regional Chamber's annual conference, and talk really was all about Detroit, the future, and this possible $195 million sentiment from Lansing. Right?
It really was, Cindy. I mean, of course, there's always a lot of talk about Detroit. This is the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Sure.
This is their bailiwick, talking about, Detroit's future. But up there on the island, you were really surrounded by it and surrounded by the people who are just right now in the thick of the politics of it. Mayor Mike Duggan, City Council President Brenda Jones, Emergency Manager Kevin Orr. And it was this sort of odd sort of love fest, just kind of positivity about Detroit oozing out of the speeches. Very interesting.
Which is not what it's always been like during these conferences.
No, absolutely not. I remember the first conference I was at in 2008, and that's when, of course, Kwame Kilpatrick was mayor. And there was this dividing line, it felt like, between Lansing and Detroit. And look, of course, there's always going to be sort of Detroit versus out of state, but this year's conference was so different. I mean, it was the sense of optimism of folks working together. At one point, the conference was honoring Democratic Senator Carl Levin. He's, of course, retiring from office this year. And Levin made a purposeful note to make mention of all of the work Republican Governor Snyder and his administration was doing in Detroit, specifics that Carl Levin was making. So really amazing to watch.
Yeah, we heard Republicans like Jay Spolger going, "We're all Michiganders."
It really left us all going, wow, is is, is this optimism and is this bipartisanship about this city that usually has been so controversial for lawmakers, Republican and Democrats both, and how they work together?
So how do you think this plays into the grand bargain, at least the state's portion of the grand bargain?
Well, that's what's going to be so interesting to watch. I mean, certainly we know the state house has already voted in the $195 million settlement. It now goes to the state Senate beginning tomorrow. The Government Operations Committee in the Senate will start looking at the bills, these 11 bills that the House passed. And I really think the conference played a part in this. There were state senators there hearing from folks on the ground in Detroit saying, get this done, whether you want to call it lobbying. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. But the timing of the conference, 1,500, 1,700 people that care about the future of the city surrounding these lawmakers, you know, you can't discount the fact that they were all up there talking about this settlement.
And again, the overwhelming thing seemed to be were positive, and it was more upbeat than it's been.
Because I think folks feel like we're getting closer to something actually happening. Whether you agree with what's happening or not, the can is no longer being kicked down the road, at least in this time frame. And it's an interesting thing to watch, absolutely.
Zoe Clark, co-host of Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.